Man, talk about getting me hyped with that one right there. Baseball season is set to start next week with pitchers and catchers set to report. I am dressed for the occasion. I am Chris Sack. This is Ice to Shorts Warner Sports with Sack and Diaz. We are Diaz-less tonight, or are we?
Thank God.
Or are we? So I'm going to introduce my panel here for tonight's program. First of all, I'm going to get ourselves through our sponsors. Miller Lite, if you're not drinking it, you ain't right. Welcome back, Stateside Vodka. Workhorse Brewing with my boy Dan Hirschberg, formerly a Philly faithful. Bucks County Baseball Company, Dave Dodge Chrysler Jeep, Cavs Restaurants, Delilah's, fantastic. Bourbon Blue, the Bayou and Cactus, the Manny Young Sport and Social Club, City Fitness, Philadelphia locations, Northern Liberties, Graduate Hospital, South Philly, Fishtown, Logan Square, and East Market, which I've done the liberty to change that up, since it's not Market East. Echelon Health and Fitness, Somo Sophie, South Philadelphia, with our good friend Jahari Evans. Sean Brace and Philly Influencer on 102.5 The Gambler. Fourth and John with my boy E-Rock and the gang. Chickens and Pizza in South Philadelphia and all of their locations, especially the ones in South Jersey where I reside. Holla at me with that one. I'm hanging out here right now. I have alongside of me, I have our lovely co-host with us tonight, Andy. Andy, what's up?
Hello.
Thank you for joining us.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for having me.
We're
going
to talk some basketball with Andy this evening before she has to head out. And go hang out with Quimby or go do better things. And then I have Samandric. Pops Thomas sitting to my left. What's up, Pops?
Nothing much, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. It's another rainy evening. I swear every time I come down here to Quimby's, it's raining. Every single time. It's no fail.
I never noticed that.
He can make that happen.
But I also like to introduce you guys to my other co-host this evening, Michael Diaz. Diaz, how are you? Diaz, say something.
Oh, my God.
Diaz, are you going to talk tonight?
He's finally quiet.
Oh, okay, all right. Diaz, whenever you want to chime in, just let me know. Thank you. So, why don't we start out? We were touching on this with Hollis and Quimby in our Get Tanked Happy Hour, okay, and the Sixers. So I just want to read off a couple things here real quick in regards to the little week-end review for the Sixers. Okay. Since we last reconvened, the Sixers have virtually hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. 127-117 loss to the lowly Atlanta Hawks last Thursday night. A 116-95 waxing by Kemba Walker and Enes Kanter-less Celtics. And then a 137-106 drubbing at the hands of former Sixer Jimmy Butler in the Miami Heat. Jimmy scored 38 points before watching the whole fourth quarter from the bench. All three games on the road, and tonight they wrapped up their four-game road trip at NBA best Milwaukee with the Greek Freak looking for revenge for the Sixers being the Grinch that stole his Christmas. What are we thinking? Andy, why don't you fill me in here? What are your thoughts on the Sixers' road woes, and what can we do to improve?
Honestly, I just wish they'd win. I don't know enough to know why or how. But I wish they'd do it.
So when they're on the road, mm-hmm. Okay, do you watch when they're on the road? Because I'm more inclined to not watch.
I don't watch as much on the road. I always keep up with the scores and stuff.
Right.
I don't always watch on the road. I'll watch at home.
Yeah, because
always.
You wonder why? Because you're probably anticipating a dog shit effort, which is kind of what I am anticipating tonight.
I'll be at the bar and kind of watch.
Right.
When I get
right. You're
disappointed.
You're going to pay it mine mm-hmm. tonight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because it's Sixers Bucks. Mm-hmm. And going into the season, right, Pops, we thought going into the season it was going to be Sixers Bucks, Eastern Conference Finals, Jay Menis, who's no longer with us and now in Orlando, back in Orlando. James was saying how they were going to walk to the finals.
Walk right to the finals.
What kind of walking to the finals do you think they're doing, Pops?
They're not. The season's long. First, the season is long. And this is a stretch that they have to get over. All the crybaby crap that they got going on and everything with the locker room and turmoil.
Right.
Brett Brown possibly needs to go. It was, I believe, like last year, Jimmy Butler was the worst mistake ever. you didn't have that type of attitude. I kind of attribute it to when Doug Peterson first got here. The first thing he did was got rid of what he was considered problematic players, players that were basically not for the team, but they were for themselves. And Jimmy Butler is a for himself type of person. And the sad part about it is Jimmy's not that good. He's a good player, but he's not great to where T.O. was a selfish player. But he was a great player.
Right.
Even though I don't like him, T.O. was a great player. Allen Iverson, same way, selfish player, but he was a great player. Jimmy Butler is not on their level in any stretch of the imagination, and everywhere he went, it was a problem.
Now, the report that I'm seeing from earlier today,
okay,
is that the problem going on right now, because this is after yesterday when Al Horford said that they're having problems in the locker room.
Right. Too much talk, too many. What I'm trying to get at is too many personalities clashing. Yeah, too many Chiefs and not enough Indians.
Right. Now, I read a report earlier. I didn't read the report, but I saw the headline on it. Is that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid right now have problems with each other because they're both jealous of one another. What the hell do you guys have to be jealous of each other for?
Well, that's the ego thing.
Losing.
I don't understand it, though. But like, there's nothing for either of them to be jealous about right now. This isn't Kobe Shaq, okay? Kobe Shaq, at least when they had their issues, they could coexist and get it done on the floor.
You have to realize, though, during those times, no two superstars can really coexist in any sport. Donovan was jealous of T.O. because the city embraced T.O.
Well, that's because Donovan felt like he put in the time, and then Donovan came in and he automatically, like, Donovan had to put in the time to get the city in right. The palm of his hands. T.O. came in and it was just automatic. But
you have budding superstars here. You have two guys. Joel Embiid gets a lot of sensation because people naturally like him. People don't like Ben Simmons, and he's doing better on the free throw line. All I've said from the beginning of all this was if he can improve his free throw percentage by up to 75%, he's averaging 20 points a game. 20 points a game, almost 9 assists and almost 9 rebounds. He's a walking triple-double. Joel Embiid can't stay healthy enough to slow the 76ers down. And Jimmy Butler probably didn't like Ben Simmons because they were almost two in the same player, but it's Ben Simmons' team.
But I get that. It is his team. It's the control. It's his the run. My problem that I'm trying to grasp here is what is there to be jealous of?
The stardom. Like, everybody wants to be the guy.
But
it's a big... There's no real
legit stardom for either of them, though.
It's a big cojones contest.
How many MVPs do they have combined between the two of them? How many first team all NBAs do they have? Like, what is there to be jealous of? Like, I can see if you have team success together, right? And then eventually it turns into something else where they go, you know what? Like, screw the team success. Like, I want to do it myself. I want to be the guy. You have to do it together first before you can start having those jealousies.
The thing about it is it's a team sport. Just like people always go back and forth about this GOAT talk shit. Oh, sorry about that.
You're fine.
This GOAT talk stuff. And in an individual sport, you can have
shit
a GOAT.
Is allowed on my program, by the way.
All right.
It's those two with the F-bomb. They just like to be footloose and
right,
fancy, fancy free.
Gotcha. I want to respect the host.
I'm a family program.
And how you guys do.
Baseball.
That's right.
I've got an almost 4-year-old and almost 1-year-old at home. So, you know, like, eventually they're going to have to listen to this.
Oh, okay.
That's true.
So when you get to talking about GOAT, that's a slap in the face to everyone else around that helped that team accomplish anything that they've ever accomplished. Just like in football, you got a 53-man roster and probably a 20-plus personnel coaching panel. So it's disrespectful to say, oh, the greatest of all times, like this person done it all by themselves.
Right.
They should have stayed in boxing, even golf or tennis, or more or less of an individual sport. For them, I believe that Ben Simmons wants to take control to where it's his team. And more than anything else, it's a cojones
thing. He wants to run.
Yeah, right.
And with Embiid, they can't run. And especially, like, right. I look at Horford.
Right.
My God. But how about
but
this?
The league is a running team, though, right? It's 125 points.
It's a three-point shooting league now. That's what it's gone to.
They wish they could do it like the WNBA was doing this last season.
Oh, God.
Elena Del Don, they wish.
Who watched that?
Andy, I'm sorry.
Me? Sorry. I went to the finals.
You did? Oh, you did?
I mean, I love it. If Philly had a W team, I'd be there all the
right,
time.
I mean, there's nothing wrong Philly with it, but it's like.
I'm surprised they don't have one here.
I've tried to watch a game, and it's like, okay, on to the next thing.
You know.
I don't know why, but it just don't seem like it.
They move
doesn't.
Quick. It's off a different season. You know, it's different timing, so it's nice.
And I never know when they're playing. I never know when they're playing. I mean, I don't have anything mm-hmm. against it, but it's just one of those things right. where as people talk about mm-hmm. it, it'd be like, well, they playing?
Fair.
Well, it's like I saw earlier, though. Okay, so ESPN's Brian Windhorst said uh-huh. that the Sixers made it clear to other teams they were not trading Tobias Harris or Al Horford. Why would you not try and get out from underneath that money? Why?
I don't know what they're seeing Tobias Harris.
Like
he's on his sixth or seventh. He's on his 30-15. 30-15.
Diaz likes to talk about the process. Okay? And listen, I was
terrible.
Well, we're supposed to trust it.
His outlook on the process uh-huh. is not logical. Okay? The process was the Sixers were trying to get themselves out of the mire of mediocrity with which they were in. Because let's face it, in the NBA, if you're not in the bottom three or the top three, you're not trying.
Right.
Right? You have to really suck and build up your core so people would want to come play with you, or you're just really, really good and you're one of the three teams in the NBA that actually has a shot to win the NBA title.
But nobody still wants to come here.
But that's the thing. The process was built up and was started by Sam Hinkie to build up assets, which they did, and they accumulated them. And then they traded certain pieces, Nerlens Noel and Michael Carter Williams, and like they were doing certain things and moving pieces and getting draft picks, and they built themselves up to where they actually had some you know players here, Embiid and Simmons, okay. and you know so they started to move. But the thing was is they had the money at their disposal to go out and get a max player, right? That max player was supposed to be Kawhi Leonard. It was supposed to be LeBron James. It was supposed to be a superstar. They spent $187 million.
Yes.
$187 million on Tobias Harris. And then they swung the money, another $100 million, at Al Horford.
They throwing it around.
But Elton Brand, I love you. I love you, man, but you're doing a horrible job. You're the one that's shopping for the groceries. And I'm not saying that Brett Brown doesn't have a part in it. He does, because he's the one that has to make the pieces fit. But when they don't fit, you got to look at the general manager. The general manager is putting all these groceries in the kitchen and making, you know, Brett Brown try and make filet mignon out of cornflakes.
The thing I've noticed that they did was when they first year they lost to Boston, they had a lot of shooters on their team. And in order to actually compete with Boston, they had to be athletic because
right.
they had a team of athletes. And what Brand, to me, what I've seen Brand do is gear more towards an athletic team opposed to just shooters. He should have like at least two or three marksmen, two or three guys he knows that can shoot the ball, and that's where Ben Simmons come in.
Because when Ben penetrates the lane, he has two options to kick out.
Right.
And that's what they don't have right now. Now, maybe that'll change.
It's supposed to be Tobias Harris.
Well, maybe that'll change now. Because like we were talking about earlier on Get Tanked Happy Hour, is so the Sixers made a couple deals within the last 24 hours. Okay, they traded 3 second-round picks to the Warriors for Alec Burks, who's averaging 16.1 points per game this season. Yeah, okay. I was shocked. I was looking this up because I wanted to make sure.
For the Warriors?
For the Warriors. Okay. Now, mind you, someone has to score when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are both hurt, right?
Well, you had D'Angelo Russell at 23 a game.
Yeah, but someone has to pick up the slack elsewhere too.
And Draymond is averaging eight points a game.
Are you serious? Oh my
I mean,
God.
A lot of people last year.
Oh my God!
A lot of people was talking about how great he was. And
retiring
his
number.
Really saw it.
Me and my boys.
I never really saw it.
But they also picked up Glenn Small Puppy Robinson.
He's coming into his own,
which is fine. He's averaging 12.1, almost 12.2 points per game.
That's okay? great coming off the bench.
That's great coming off the bench, which is what they need. They need some quick strike ability. They need some guys that are going to come off and now see. I look at those as underrated moves. Now. Listen, everybody wanted the splash. you're not going to get the splash when you're spending all the cash. You have Embiid, max contract. Simmons, max contract. You have Tobias Harris, max contract. And I'm going to get into this later on, too, okay. when I'm talking about, like, I want to touch base on the Phillies a little bit later on.
Okay.
Because everybody is just gung-ho. Let's spend money. Sometimes being a general manager, you have to be creative. Okay? And I felt like Elton did that today, within the last 24 hours, because they made that trade last night.
Right.
He got creative. He gave up assets that nobody gives a crap about. Three second-round picks? What the hell are they going to become? They're going to become three European players that you're going to stash away for 2 or 3 years overseas, correct?
Sure thing.
So I look at it from that aspect that it's like he made a good deal. Now it's time that, for me, Embiid should start. Horford should come off the bench and play center when Embiid is – Kyle Quinn now is irrelevant. You can't put Embiid and Horford on the floor at the same time moving forward. You have to make it work. Put Tobias at the four.
Leave Embiid at the wing.
Give it another swing.
He likes to shoot threes.
But you have to get more athletic, right? That's what we're looking to do. And if you're trying to have Horford and Embiid on the court, you're slowing everything down.
And then also Josh Richardson is hurt, right?
Josh should be coming back from his hamstring injury. He actually conducted the closed-door meeting, the players-only meeting yesterday.
Yeah, that's another big part of it that he's missing because he was playing pretty good, and they were playing well with him
right.
on the defensive end and also scoring.
Right. And another thing that I want to touch on, well, Diaz, you got something? No? Okay. You're quiet tonight. this is what Diaz likes to do, and this is something that ticks me off. So I missed a show a couple weeks ago, okay?
Last week.
No, two weeks ago. I was here last week. I was here last Friday.
Oh, okay.
I was driving up to upstate New York, and I had to listen to Diaz talk by himself for about 20 minutes, half hour. And see – Diaz likes to talk about and bring about expectations from other teams and try and change the expectations for the Sixers. So, you know, I'm a big Flyers fan. He's a big Sixers fan. And a lot of times it's tough to try and allocate that in the wintertime. So he wants to try and force the championship expectations onto the Flyers when they weren't there at the beginning of the season. The Sixers, coming into the season, were supposed to be Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6 or 7 at best. At worst. Diaz tries to swing the narrative. Well, the Flyers, No. You can't change expectations unless they change them themselves. Like right now, they're a middling team, and I'm going to get to them coming up once we're done with the Sixers. But your opinion on that, Andy, what do you think as far as, like, you can't sit there and come into a season. It's not like they had any major injuries. I mean, yeah, Embiid got hurt with his finger. He missed a couple weeks. He's back.
He does that.
It's taped up. He does that quite frequently. But I look at it from the aspect with the Flyers and the Sixers, you can't try and compare the two. When you come into a season, you're expected to win. You're expected to get to the Eastern Conference Finals and lose in Game 6 or 7 at worst. So for the Flyers, you can't say that. They're still young. They're still up and coming. Whether it's fair or not, what's your opinion on that?
Whether it's fair or not.
Is it fair to try and put the push expectations onto another team who plays during the
My
same season?
Hurt.
Oh, hard no.
Hard no.
No.
Thank you.
So. Your back's hurt.
It's fun to watch these Flyers, but they aren't doing the same thing. People weren't talking about them the same way at the beginning of things.
Right.
I have to chime in right now.
Please.
Because you guys just missed the greatest clip.
My fingers hurt.
Oh, no. You just pulled landscaping.
Now your back's going to hurt. Because you just pulled landscaping duty.
Sorry. It's okay. It's not a problem. So, Pops.
Yeah.
What's your feeling on that as far as it's concerned?
Deflecting blame.
When you come in, I look at it like this, okay? I grew up we had four kids in the family.
Right.
Okay? So, if I'm sitting there at the dinner table and I don't finish my dinner, but I sit there and I go, you know, well, he didn't finish his dinner either. You know what dad's going to say to you, right?
Yeah.
Don't you worry about his plate. You worry about your own. That's the same thing with expectations with these teams. You can't sit there and go, well, the Eagles are Super Bowl contenders, so we might as well think that the Flyers are going to be the same way or the Phillies. No, it's different. You want that to be the case. You want all the teams to be competing for a championship, but that's not the case.
Right. Well, he's deflecting blame. More than anything else. It's like, okay, he's a part of the TTP process, or he actually drank the Kool-Aid on that. I honestly didn't watch the 76ers during those times because they were just that terrible, and losing on purpose doesn't do anything for me. More than anything else, their expectations have risen.
Volume.
Their expectations have risen each and every year.
Sound off like you got a pair.
So
I'm a little congested, fella.
Diaz,
get over a cold.
Diaz, I'm looking for your thought on this. Diaz, you never sounded so smart in your whole life.
Oh my God, Diaz, what do you have to say on this? Wait, I fucked up.
Please chime in.
Damn it. Got it.
My fingers hurt.
Oh, well. Oh. Now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty.
Gotcha.
Okay. I just had one quick thing. I heard what you were what you were saying about the about what they were talking about. Now, I don't know if you remember the brash what's his name? The head coach said he wanted to be the number one seed and win the East.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that, right?
How are you going to accomplish that if your best players aren't on the floor and you're doing load management bullcrap?
And not only that, to help out your argument, I'm getting sick and tired of all these excuses for turnovers. Not only that, the young kid that's playing, he's doing great all the time. You're giving all these other bums opportunity to play. That's the guy you need to be developing. That's what teams that are looking to win championships do. They develop the talent that they bring in, and they make it championship caliber, and they learn to win together.
Which kid?
The first round pick,
Thibault.
Yes, he sometimes, like, I don't know if you noticed the way he plays with sporadically sometimes, and then he'll titillate us with starting him at the beginning of the game, and he'll be doing good, and then you won't see him like for a long time, and we'll start getting our ass kicked, and then they'll try to put the kid back in, or he won't play the kid at all, and we'll end up losing the game. It's just like stuff like that. I don't think he manages the game well at all.
Yeah, he's immune to losing because of the process, and it doesn't really bother him that much.
Yeah, see?
Well, get him out of here.
If we're looking at it right now, okay, and we're looking at the Sixers, they're tied right now with the Pacers for the fifth seed, but the Pacers own the tiebreaker, so they're the sixth seed.
They're only three games out of the second seed, though? Or how does it go?
No, it's 6.5 now.
Now?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, Toronto is 6.5 games ahead of them. And then they're somewhere, like, then the Celtics are the third seed, and then they're four games behind the Heat, but the Heat have the tiebreaker. So, technically, you're five games behind the Heat, and that's for the fourth seed and home court advantage in the playoffs.
Doesn't sound like one.
They need to get hot. They need to get it right. I think what they need to do is they need to figure it out going into the All-Star break. And then when they come out, they need to have a whole different mindset about how they're going to get back into this race in the last couple months of the season.
Mm. Sounds awesome.
Sounds gay.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, yeah. So right now we're going to go ahead and we're going to take our first break. When we come back, I want to talk a little Flyers.
Sabes cómo lo hacemos, baby. This is the rhythm of the night. Baby, tonight's like fuego. We about to spend the dinero. We party to the extremo, baby.
This is the rhythm of the night.
Toda la noche rompemos. Al otro día volvemos. Tú sabes cómo lo hacemos.
Styles upon styles upon styles, I got several. Born to be wild cause I live like a dead devil. Live it up, hit him up, that's a scenario. Tupac, I get around like a merry-go. Rooftop, I am on top of the pedestal. Flu shot, I am so sick I need medical. Puta, I learned that shit down in Mexico.
The rhythm, the rebel. New and improved, I be on a new level. That's how we do it, we build it like Lego. Feel on our fire, you're dealing with fuego. Can't stop, I am addicted, I never quit.
Won't stop,
don't need to speak to no therapist.
Don't stop,
keeping it moving's the narrative.
Don't stop,
do it like whoop, there it is.
You like that space?
Si no perdemos nunca regreso y por eso yo me quiero ir.
Welcome back to Ice to Shorts Winter Sports with
to the fuck up that I had by thinking that I could be in the green room long enough and screwed up. By the way, Andy just pushed back her plans to stay on the show for a little bit longer.
Awesome.
And hold on.
Or as House would say, awesome sauce. Awesome sauce.
Yeah, where the fuck were you, man?
I was on my phone. I didn't, you didn't say you needed me.
Good things. We are back on Ice to Shorts Winter Sports with Sack and Diaz, powered by Green Legion Radio.
Yeah.
Now we're getting into the segment with which nobody else in this studio probably gives a damn about.
I do.
Besides Hollis.
Yeah.
I don't.
Hollis actually.
We just won!
Hollis actually has a. So he had a great Facebook Live video going on during a shootout loss for the Flyers. What is it, eight or nine rounds?
Yeah, it was 8 or 9 rounds.
I swear he could have replaced Jim Jackson.
Damn it! Shit!
the whole time it was great.
Like, no, it was. You know what? It was. It's a. I'm not an expert like you. I've watched hockey over my years of just being a kid and being known as Sport Billy. So I know a little bit about it. I know the basic rules of it, and I know the gist of it. But it's great when you have a stake in it, like having it being one of the only cities that are 4-for-4. And, you know, trying to get into it and slowly getting into it. And, you know, having Al Morgani, you know, being in the studio with Al.
And Jonesy, but both guys. You were barely in there with Jonesy.
But those are great guys.
Yeah, great dudes.
Yeah, and so when you ask them a question, they're always willing to teach you stuff about hockey. And then just going to the games in general. My first hockey game was a playoff game. It was a Flyers playoff game.
Oh, man. That was your first?
That was my first hockey game actually attending.
There is nothing in this world sports related.
Right.
let's emphasize that.
Right.
That is better than playoff hockey.
Yes.
I've never been to a playoff basketball game before. But
have you been to a playoff football game?
Oh yeah, I was at the Falcons game. I was at the Seahawks game this year.
Son of an onion. Okay. But the energy that the stadium gives out. I don't know if you were able to tell it from my Facebook post from the national anthem to the way that they bring the Flyers out. It was just awesome.
The production is so much better for hockey. It's a stage.
Well, it's gotten better because Vegas took it up, and I don't know if you remember.
The Stanley Cup Finals a couple years ago.
Stanley Cup Finals, but the opening of the season.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They do a lot of great things with that. So anyway, like real quick, before we get into Flyers, I did make my loyal Facebook Live listeners, I did make them a promise that I was going to debut my new bald look.
Don't do it.
So
it ain't worth it.
It's not bald. It's more like a little buzz cut.
It's a low buzz. I told her to take it down to a one. And, you know, like, it's one of those things to where,
I don't know what that is anymore.
Well, you have no idea what it's going to look like. So I go in there, and I normally get a 2, where I go 2 on the sides, and I get a 4 on the top. It depends on what I'm going for. But I've had this island that's been building up on the front of my hair for a while. And it's one of those things where it's like thinning. You know, like if it was thick, I would have kept it. Despite the receding hairline, I would have kept it. But it was just getting to be too much, and when the hair got too long, it looked ridiculous. I had like devil horns. So I had about enough of it, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to go in there. I'm going to get my head shaved. So I go in there, and the lady looks at me. She's like, oh, so are we going with a 2? I was like, no, we're going to go with a 1. She's like, are you sure about that? And I was like, yeah. She's like, you still have thick hair. I was like, I don't give a shit. Let's just do it. So she starts out, and she taps into, like, the side of my head.
Oh,
like, right on this side. And I'm sitting there, and she's like, you still want to do this? I was like, yes, let's do this. Let's just get it done. So all of a sudden, she shaves the left side of the head. She shaves the right side of the head. And then I look like something out of an 80s band. Like with just the hair on the top, and it was just like kind of long, it was kind of frilly, like I just got out of bed pretty much for the most part. And I'm sitting there, I was like, wow, this looks awful. But then she shaved off the rest of it, and I was like, you know what, it's not that bad. So anyway, Sean, this is for you. Okay?
I immediately regret this.
I do not.
No, everyone's got the same look.
I do not.
No, but
all the way go. Yeah.
Well, see,
I do not regret it.
Well, see,
I feel great about it.
Well, see, I tell you, my look was after teasing someone when I was playing with the Carolina Panthers. I was teasing somebody about their lining being crapola. It looked like somebody had did it with a butcher knife in the parking lot. So I proceeded to go to the barber shop and got in the chair, and he took my lining back way past my ears, which meant the farewell tour was over.
He gave me a
A George Jefferson special. So I immediately see what we're talking about. He's fighting it. I'll go get you some Bix.
I know. Sean Henderson.
Get it close, yes.
Sean Henderson said, "No more Charlie Brown." Now Bix. So I hope you're all happy. I hope it looks good.
No.
You got to take it
Sean,
to the one.
Sean,
you
got to go full bald. Like
thank you.
Friend.
Thank
Andy,
you.
Andy, I have to go full bald?
Yes.
You got to go full bald. For your kids and your wife.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's nothing worse than seeing my dad. Ah, dang. Here comes dad. He's like, you want me to get out of the car? No, no.
My wife said, I got home. You know, it doesn't look as bad as I thought it was going to.
She's being nice.
She would love it if it was full bald.
Full bald?
Yeah, because reaching up and touching your hair like that is like touching patches. Like you got a dog with missing hair. I'm just saying. I'm a friend. All right.
It doesn't look bad.
No.
It would look better.
Andy, I'm taking your.
You hear that? You hear that?
I'm not paying attention. I'm not paying attention to these guys. I'm not doing it.
Okay.
And I'm not paying attention to you, Sean.
Like when you ask whether or not a girl is ugly and you really want to say, be like, she ain't ugly, ugly, ugly.
She's got a good personality.
Before
she's a nice woman.
Before we dive into the flyers.
Okay.
I am married. My wife is hot, and I've got two kids. I've got nothing left to do in this world to impress.
If you want to keep them, you better impress.
Well, the boys won't care whether I'm bald or I have an
That's
afro
right.
or I have the patch or whatever the hell it is.
I think they will be like, am I going to look like daddy? Champ gives it to me.
Well, I hear it comes from the other side. It comes from the maternal side.
Oh, okay.
Right?
You say hope. That,
and her dad and her brother have great hair.
Okay.
Great hair. But anyway, let's go ahead. Let's move on. Let's talk a little bit of flyers. Let's get off my hair. I know, Quimby. I know.
He's already left long enough for that.
The Flyers are coming out of the All-Star break, getting 5 out of 6 points with an overtime loss at Pittsburgh, but followed it up with back-to-back wins against the Avalanche and the Red Wings.
Yep.
In their last 10 games, they are 7-2-1 and holding down the second wildcard spot for the Eastern Conference playoffs.
Awesome stuff.
Which would slate them to start off the playoffs if the season ends today, and Quimby hates it when I do this. They would start out with the Washington Capitals.
Scheiser.
They're 1 point.
Why do I hate anything? I don't even want to have this conversation.
I don't like it. Washington is.
If we're going to be fair, let's be honest.
Are we good against Washington?
They are. They have beaten them this year. And they play Saturday night.
No, come on, Chris.
But
let's be real. I want to know, do we have a chance at winning the series against Washington?
Yes.
Even with Ovechkin?
Oh, not what I wanted. Hold on.
Even with Ovechkin.
Okay.
What do you got?
However,
they can avoid.
How about new?
They can avoid the Capitals.
Okay.
They're 1 point behind the Islanders for the first wild card spot, which would set them up with a date with Boston. But closely behind them is Tampa.
Mm.
And they're 2 points.
We don't play good against Tampa, though, do we?
We're surrounded by assholes.
We're not as good as the Bruins and the Capitals.
Yeah, because I knew you had.
That's a team I want to avoid. They have too much speed.
Okay.
2 points behind the Blue Jackets for third place.
Hold on a second. There's the problem in there's the problem.
I
want to avoid this team. I want a Flyers team that isn't fucking afraid to see anybody, that's what we don't have.
That team is coming.
When?
You sound like Diaz. You sound like Diaz.
I am Diaz.
Be patient.
I hate the fucking Flyers.
Hold on 1 second. Diaz, what do you think about that? Diaz, you sound great tonight.
Yes,
thanks,
awesome,
Diaz.
Thanks.
Awesome. Hold on. This is what Diaz said. Ready?
Fantastic.
This is Diaz's response. Oh.
Oops. Cue it up. But if they do jump and they do get over, now they're not even that far out of second place in the division, which would put them for home ice advantage in the first round. They're gonna have to catch the Penguins.
Mm-hmm.
Now their schedule over the next week is going to be tough. Outside of tonight, which they face cellar dweller, New Jersey Devils tonight at home, which the Flyers have one of the best home records in the NHL.
Right.
Now they go up against Metropolitan Division leader Washington Capitals with Alex Ovechkin is 2 goals away from 700 career goals.
Damn.
And when he scores those 2 goals...
I take back everything I said.
He'll be 195. Hold on. He is going to, within the next 4 seasons, he's going to break Wayne Gretzky's all-time goal-scoring record.
The only thing I want to hear about breaking and Gretzky in the same sentence...
Is Pamela? Paulina. Is it Paulina? Paulina Gretzky?
Oh, my God, dude. I just want to get in
front. Have you seen his daughter? That's what I'm thinking.
Right.
Okay.
Dustin Johnson's wife.
Yes.
The only thing I want to hear about getting into a Gretzky is getting in front of Dustin.
I think her name is Paulina. Paulina Gretzky.
I don't think it's Paulina, is it?
I don't know.
Look it up. Sounds terrible.
Look it up.
His name's not so great either.
It sounds terrible. Terrible.
But then they have a back-to-back on Monday and Tuesday with the Florida Panthers and New York Islanders, who are both playoff teams right now.
Right.
Big reason why the Flyers have had recent success has been the play of goaltender Brian Elliott. With
not the goaltender of dreams.
He's been out. I'm going to touch base on Carter Hart. But Brian Elliott, since Carter Hart went down, he's 4-0-1 with a 1.58 goal against average.
Here, you want to know how boring this segment is?
It's been huge.
Pops has been on his phone and hasn't said a word in 10 minutes.
It's Paulina.
He was pulling.
Is it Paulina? Let me see that.
Thank you.
I want to see her.
I was about to look.
Thank you. And she is smoking hot.
Is that Dustin's wife?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it?
Forget Dustin's wife. I don't care if Dustin's wife or not.
I would drop a nut on her forehead, I'm not going
to
lie.
Andy wants to see her.
Andy wants to see. Andy?
Jay, that's the bit outside.
Anyone?
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yes.
You'd hit it, right?
Sure.
That a girl.
Brian Elliott has been huge. But Carter Hart is slated to return from his lower abdominal strain within the next week.
Okay.
Defenseman Shane Gostisbehere should return to the lineup tonight.
The Ghost.
They're looking to trade him, so I think they're going to try and get something for him within the next couple weeks of trade deadline.
Therein, again, lies the problem.
What's the problem?
This guy was supposed to be the foundation of your defense 2 years ago.
He's a $5.5 million cap hit, and you're going to look for something else.
This guy was supposed to be the foundation of your, not only your defense, but your power play.
But
and now all they're doing is talking about moving him. That's the problem with this fucking team.
Because he's gone from the first line defense to the second pair to the third pair now, and pretty much been out of the lineup and then the doghouse with Alain Vigneault.
To help you out, though, it says a new coach, a new regime. So I need to get people in here.
I'm telling you guys, it's Rome. It's Rome. It's Rome.
Ghost has been replaced as the heir apparent.
Sucks
because Ivan Provorov is now the head coach.
Right.
He is now the guy back there.
Well, then the coach has changed also.
But you might not need to make that move coming up because Nolan Patrick has returned to practice as well.
Okay,
if you guys don't mind, I'm gonna try to find some lesbian porn on the TV.
That's lesbian cool.
But his return to action is still unknown because of his migraine disorder. I don't know when he's gonna return. But returning to practice is good news for the team.
Okay, cool.
Great.
Now I want to touch on something that I think everybody can touch on.
Sure.
All right.
Andy.
Well, yes.
Oh.
Awkward.
Awkward.
Oh, man.
You didn't hear that segue. I want to touch on something that everybody here on the show wants to touch on.
Awkward.
Andy.
That can touch
it. I hear it now.
Yeah. Awkward. I'm sorry. I was just reminding everybody we're human.
So, listen, I know this is Ice to Shorts.
I don't know about you, but my pants are a little tighter.
I know this is about...
His wife's hot. I'm
not married. Don't put that. Don't wish that evil on me.
How about new?
But continue, Chris.
I know. The premise of our show,
right,
is Ice to Shorts.
Correct.
But there's been things.
Whatever you want to talk about, dude.
I know. But and you guys know I'm a big baseball fan.
Yes.
Being the Phillies correspondent for Green Legion Radio.
Yes.
But the Phillies made an announcement this week.
Right.
That they're gay.
Oh. Sorry.
You called. Awkward. They're so gay that you called me the other day to try and figure out what was going on with them.
You're right.
So, the Phillies made an announcement the other day that they're going to retire Roy Halladay's number.
Right.
And I'm a little. Listen, I love Doc. Right. I love Doc before he got here.
Right.
He wasn't here long enough.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
He wasn't here long.
I agree.
Now, and I'm sorry the way he passed away. And I'm,
right.
And the whole
right.
thing. And I'm sorry.
But
about
if we're
family.
Gonna if yeah. But yeah. if we're gonna say he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
Why aren't they retiring Jim Thome's 25?
Well,
instead of letting guys like Cody Ashe wear it. Like, I look at it like this with the Phillies, okay? This right here opens the door for you to get rid of that pathetic policy about only retiring Hall of Famers numbers.
Right.
Because if you're going to do it for Doc, now you better sure as hell do it for Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley,
Jimmy
especially.
Jimmy won't mow.
At least Jimmy and Chase.
And the big piece.
Then I'm thinking Ryan.
Now I think the big piece first because without him, you ain't winning. Point blank.
I look at those three. It's a tough.
They are together.
It's a tough thing. I've always said that they should make a statue for the three of them.
Yeah.
Collectively, the three of them should be on the same statue.
But you know why the big piece is key to that? Because the other two of those people was up with Jim Tomei when they thought Jim Tomei was the answer. Go look at it.
Yeah, but Jim Tomei. If we're going to talk about impact on the franchise,
right.
And we're going to retire Doc's number because of his importance and what he meant to this team.
Right.
All right. They had two winning seasons with Doc. Mm-hmm. He had a Cy Young and a runner-up for the Cy Young, and then he got hurt.
Yeah.
And then his last 2 years, he broke down.
Right.
Tomei broke down too, but Tomei made signing with Philadelphia cool. He made coming here cool again when he went away from signing with the Indians, re-signing with the Indians, and coming here. He had a big impact his first 2 years here, especially closing out the vet and opening up Citizens Bank.
Okay.
He had a big impact.
You know what else had a big impact? Winning that title. And you're not winning
it. It was huge.
You're not winning it without the piece.
I'm not taking anything away from the piece. Not taking anything.
This is not my argument against the piece. I know, but
this
is my argument against the three. Because you know what else was still there? Rollins and Utley was still with Tomei. Without the piece, you're not winning.
And he was held back because of
Hold on a second. Be careful because Sack is running all this through his head right now to decide whether or not he wants to thump you.
He can thump me all he wants to, but it's just that at that particular time.
Look, the Phillies. All right, here we go. And let's get this out of the way because it was the glory days of the Phillies followed up by the, oh, my God, shoot me in the fucking head.
Which has been the last 8 years.
Now, hold on, okay. And it didn't have to be the last 8 years, but Ruben Amaro held on to players longer than he should.
Right.
And we get it, and we were hamstringed by it. But right now, all right, so first of all, you open up, what was it, 2004
was the year they opened up
the new stadium. Yes. Okay, and everybody was excited, and we had a farm system that was
awesome. So
just uncomparable to everybody else,
which was thanks to Edward and Mike Arbuckle,
and it actually metastasized.
Somebody's been reading the dictionary. That's almost a thesaurus.
Don't let it fool you. I'm not just a sexy radio face.
This is the thesaurus style word, isn't it?
It matured into something that we could only hope to have in our lifetime. And, man, I'll tell you the worst part of that entire process. I said, bring on the Yankees.
So did I.
I probably shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, while the Phillies were living in that heyday, they forgot, just as the Eagles did under Joe Banner, that you still have to remember your fans and you have to retool. All right, here's the deal. Both Kansas City and both San Francisco have maybe both 1 to 2 more years where they are going to be effective as a possible Super Bowl contender.
Right.
Right.
All right.
Because people will pluck.
The window shuts so fast because when you are surrounded by great players, mediocre players become better players.
Exactly. They want
to
get paid.
And
like
they
great
are
players.
Going to get paid one way or the other in the components. You need three superstars for whatever you're talking about, but you need component players to step
role
up
players.
And be the man.
You need role players.
I will give you an example. The greatest moment in... All right, let's talk Phillies. We're having fun here, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Andy, are you all right? What time?
I'm all right.
All right.
Yes, sir.
Greatest moment of my sports career. All right? Third baseman for the Philadelphia Phillies when they won the title.
Pedro Feliz.
All right. Guy was nothing more than an above-average hitter. Excellent defensive player.
Always.
Okay.
You know, no balls getting past third base. All right. And if you remember, Pedro Feliz singled in the winning run.
Right.
All right. But let's talk.
After Pat the Bat almost put one out.
And Pat is still pissed off that ball. Tail to the right of hair, or tail to the left.
Immediately got pinch ran for Eric Brunt.
Right? Yo, Pat, catch yours. I've never seen somebody try to run that just does not know how to run. But, all right, here we go. It's 2008. It's the World Series year. And I have an opportunity to sit behind home plate with a girl I wanted to bang out for a long time. And no lie, she...
That's how the story normally was begins.
I don't know why you had to preface that, but I'm sure she knew. But thanks for the exclamation point and the cherry on top.
Anytime, brother, anytime.
So here we go, all right? I have seats behind home plate. I still have video of the game, all right? Two rows behind home plate. Right there, all right? And I am doing everything possible to distract Dodgers hitters, especially
Manny.
Fuck Manny, all right? Yes, I was on top of Manny every single time he came up to the plate.
So you wound up on top of Manny instead of the woman you went with.
Awkward. I thought this was a family show.
You were talking about
show.
What's gay earlier, that's it.
Son of an Onion family show.
I owed you for the Flyers segment. I owed him.
That's what it is.
Big time.
All right, here we go. I promise you, because he looked back, all right, bases loaded, Ramirez, up to bat. I am heckling the shit out of him because he is 30 feet away from him. And you know how loud I can be.
Yeah. All right? Yeah, we all know that.
Thanks, baby.
So what was this? Was this NLCS game two?
No. It was a four-game series in August.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah.
And it had a lot to do with, what you know, it was a playoff.
This was right before I met you.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
Yeah. Okay. So here we go. What do I say? He is up to bat. He's got two strikes on him. I don't know how many balls. And I go, Manny! Millie Vanilli called. They want their fucking tights back right now. Strike three. Right? With the bases loaded and two outs. And he looks back and goes like this. And the entire two sections, you know those two sections that are behind home plate?
Yeah.
That you rarely get an opportunity to get to? Mm-hmm. Dude, I was never so drunk. Every single person were buying me drinks. It was hysterical. They knew. And think about that. Come on.
Yeah,
how perfect was that? He had such Milli Vanilli hair.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good timing, too.
Yeah. Yep. And got him.
Timing.
And he literally looked back and went like this.
Son of an onion.
Diaz, you got a story? Okay. Never,
there's one time at bank.
There you go, Diaz. Thanks for welcoming.
I want to get back to what Hollis was saying with the three guys.
Right.
I don't think you can have, I don't think you can have one without the other. Right. I just don't. Listen, the piece was the one that drove him in, but Rollins was a table setter and a Gold Glove shortstop.
Yep.
And he has the stats out of all three of them. He is the most bound for the Hall of Fame. Chase is a top 10 based on WAR. He's top 10 all time in second baseman ever. Like those three, they made it happen together along with Cole.
But it's like what
and reason, Lidge. Lidge being perfect, man. I mean, you can't take anything away from him.
I had a show with Lidge, but the thing with the piece is I feel like he's the one who gets disrespected the most.
I agree, and yeah. I defend it. Yeah. I was. From day one.
Yeah, because I didn't.
He was
like, this is the thing.
The majestic
like,
shots he had.
Yeah, but.
It was unfair to him because the way that people treated him, Hollis.
Right.
It was because he was making that money, $25 million a year, after he tore his Achilles.
Yeah.
Now, remember, he signed that deal early on. It's May 2010.
Right.
Now, he wasn't supposed to become a free agent until after the 2011 season.
Correct.
Now, you signed him to that five-year, $120 million deal because you want to know why? You want to know who he was going to hit the market with that offseason?
Yankees?
Albert Pujols.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And Prince Fielder.
Oh, yeah.
Now, Pujols got 10 years.
Yeah.
Prince Fielder got nine years. And you signed him to a five-year deal. I'm sorry. When he was the Rookie of the Year, mm-hmm. he was the MVP, he was winning you a World Series and five division titles, he was making next to shit.
Nothing, exactly.
So to me, when he was making $25 million on one leg for the last 5 years of his career,
yeah, was his just
twilight, it was his just due.
Yeah, it was his desserts. Yeah, just desserts.
And the thing about it was, my whole thing is, yeah, my mistake. My bad.
Yeah.
I need a shot.
At a girl.
shot.
They're going to go through the same thing with Bryce Harper.
Towards
13 years. 25 million a year.
Whatever.
The contracts.
Heavily loaded in the front. Whatever.
But the thing is, though, is even though that the money, it still has an impact on the luxury tax as far as
I don't give a shit about the luxury tax. The Phillies have saved so much money over the last 5 years. I don't ever want to hear 10 years from now that you have a problem with the luxury tax. You should have spent that and made sure this team was competitive while we're all falling asleep at the wheel.
My problem.
Fuck them.
We kind of touched base on this the other day when you called me and asked me what the Phillies had done in the offseason.
Wheeler,
Gregorius, mm-hmm. and really next to nothing.
Wait,
outside
hold on.
Gregorius? Ew, spit. Ew.
I could have done without seeing that.
Yeah.
Hey. This is what I'm thinking with their moves. Thank you.
I look at it like this. They need to have some impact players come up from the minor leagues this year. And they have to be cheap. You have to have arbitration-eligible players in the next 3 to 4 years, like an Alec Baum to come up and play third base, and Spencer Howard to come in and contribute to the rotation and be at $500,000 for the next 3 to 4 years before he hit the arbitration.
They are not even close to competing with the Nationals or the Braves right now.
Hold on. They're a better team, though, this year, just for the simple fact that coconut oil, Gabe, is not back. Yeah.
Hold on. Yeah. Cocoa butter. Everybody, if you want to, it's like the Irish Spring commercial. If you want to smell like a black guy, cocoa butter.
I don't think that they're competing.
Smell good. Look good.
They're not competing for the division.
Boom goes the dynamite.
I can mute both of you.
Boom. If that's what you so desire, sir.
Yes, he does.
The base of Lonely Man's lotion is coconut oil.
They're not going to compete for the division this year, but they can hang in.
Why not?
Hold on.
And why are you not there? Why are you not at least trying? Because they're not spending a lot of money.
And also, Chris, before you say what you're about to say.
Sure.
I am tired of waiting. Hold on a second. I am tired of waiting.
I was a season ticket holder the last 8 years.
No. I'm tired of sitting there
with empty blue seats.
I don't want to hear.
That they can't compete.
They won't make these moves because they don't think they're ready to compete. Make the fucking moves and compete.
I'll say your piece before I go off.
Yeah, because I need you to go off on this because you do have some jackasses that are currently in place. We don't have no damn time to be waiting on the guys that are in charge. We need to get some people in there that know what the fuck they're doing. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Listen, here's my point, and this is my premise. I'm sick and tired of people acting like you can build and construct a Major League Baseball team with 25 guys that all make $20 million plus.
No.
Hold on. Agreed. I'm not finished. The last two days, Mookie Betts has been traded, and everyone's like, oh, my God, we could have made that deal. I got to listen to these morons talking about Chris Bryant, who also is going to make $25 to $30 million a year. Have you watched Chris Bryant play since they won the World Series? Sucks. He's not worth that money. You have a guy in the minor league system that's going to cost you dirt cheap for the next 3 to 4 years when he comes to the show, and he's going to give you the same type of production that Chris Bryant gives you. Mookie Betts, that's great. What are you going to do with him?
Mookie Betts is the best player in Major League Baseball right now.
No, Mike Trout is.
Well, sorry, free agent.
Well, he's not free agent yet. He will be after this year. If you want to, instead of going out and making a trade this year, you can get him for nothing. You can pay all the money in the world and go over to luxury tax if you want to after this year. But what are you going to do? He wants to get paid more money than Harper got. He wants to get paid more money than Machado got.
Okay.
He's going to cost you $30, $35 million a year.
And somebody's going to pay for it.
And somebody's going to pay for it. But it's not going to be the Phillies because they're about to sign Real Muto, who's going to cost you $20, $25 million a year after this season. Everybody needs to get a firm grip on this. If the process,
you know what,
Phillies,
you know,
it's well, built for now.
You know who it's time to let go? Hoskins.
Yeah, but you're not going to sell. You're not going to sell. What is it? A quarter on the dollar? You're not going to do it right now.
Whatever it is, whatever it is,
because Hoskins eventually has to go because he's a Scott Boras client and he's another guy that's going to want to get paid and he should not
he's
get. Going to
get $35 million a year by somebody.
He should not get paid that much money.
No,
you know. You know what the weird thing is? Is I would like to see
that we're still talking about this.
Yeah, but I want to see all these players that we're currently currently talking about under this new management. That's what under Joe Girardi. I want to see because some of these guys. I think they're suffering from poor coaching and poor managing because he's got one more. Well, okay. Oh, sorry.
Keep talking.
Sorry, deepest apologies. But I went off on a tangent there. But I just want to see that some of these guys under quality coaching and somebody who actually motivates and believes in them because I don't feel like the coconut oil guy. I don't feel like he managed guys well. I got the maximum out of him because of all the of the analytical stuff he was doing. He wasn't a true coach. All right, Chris, it's your turn now. I don't know if you got all of that.
All right,
but so basically, I want to see the current guys that we have. We have some decent players.
Yeah,
I feel, but I feel like, the way that our coconut oil manager was doing, you're not going to maximize anybody out of that.
Right.
It's like you were with them for two seasons and you started off hot and then you imploded. It's twice, so that means that your coaching style sucks.
So, normally, Diaz like to bring us up last week. We had the life hack of the week. He wants to do life hack of the week. I can't think of a damn life hack of the week, so I'm going to do a life sack of the week right here.
That's good.
Is something that I'm sick and tired of and needs to stop because I had to listen to people cry on the radio the other day because it was the 2-year anniversary since we won the Super Bowl. Listen, get the hell over it. Get over it, okay? I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Super Bowl. Well, we won the Super Bowl. Howie doesn't deserve criticism because we won the Super Bowl. Doug can't get fired because we won the Super Bowl. Guess what, guys? It's been 2 years, and we've gone backwards every single year. Get your head out of your asses, and it starts with the fan base. We need to be better. We need to expect better. We need to do better, and we need to stop sitting here playing highlights from the Super Bowl from 2 years ago, acting like this is something like, this is the pinnacle of my life. No. Get married. Have kids. That's the pinnacle of your life.
No,
hold on. But for the love of God,
end
this
Chris
crap
just
right
got
now.
Muted. I'm kidding.
End this crap. Let's stop glorifying. Thank
Hold
you.
On a second. I have to disrupt your rant. I sold my soul for that Super Bowl.
We all did.
I promised whatever powers that be.
We all did.
You could take everything away from me to get it.
But is it good enough? Do you want another one?
Of course. You know what?
You do want another one. You do want another
of
one.
Of course you do.
You know how it's built.
Of course you do. But right now,
I'm satisfied.
I'm not going to lie.
I can still
get a bit of an erection thinking about it.
But what I would like, Chris, is I would like to see us win some games more decisively. I would like to see us put a product
get
out there.
To
I would like
people.
Get, I would like to see us put a product out there to where we're not holding our nutsack at the end of the game.
Right. Why you got to bring in
nutsack?
Sack.
Life hack of the week. Life sack of the week.
Life sack,
sack
week.
Of the week. We're worried about losing.
Well, we have to wrap this up now. We have to get going. Diaz, you have any last words? You never sounded so better in your whole life.
So good.
Come back next week. Anyway, so this was Ice to Shorts, Winter Sports with Sack and Diaz, powered by Green Legion Radio.
Arnel Pineda is going to take us out tonight.
Please do.
Arnel Pineda.
All right, thank you. If anybody has not. Oh, sorry.
We'll talk to you next week.
TTP. Arnel Pineda, the lead singer now, off the streets of the Philippines, of Journey.